Hello and welcome to the Friday, January 10th, 2014 edition of the Sands and its Storm Centers Stormcast. My name is Johannes Ulrich and I'm the recording from Jacksonville, Florida. Let's start out today with a diary by Boyan. Boyan is talking about an interesting attack that we cover in our Defending Web Applications class, but really it has gained more and more prominence as people build more web services around XML. The attack is the external entity attack. Now, first of all, XML entities are in itself nothing really all too bad or evil. They're essentially acronyms for the most part, and you may have seen them. For example, in HTML, you have these ampersand QOT semicolon to, for example, replace the quote character. Now, with external entities, you define these entities not to expand to another string, but instead you define the entity to be retrieved from an external resource, like, for example, from a file. So with external entities, you could trick the parser into including a file from the parser's file system into the XML. If you then are later able to retrieve that XML from that particular server, well, then it will send back that particular file. So at first it really comes down to an arbitrary file retrieval kind of vulnerability or an information leakage vulnerability. However, it can easily then be exploited further. For example, you could retrieve configuration files with passwords, or as Boyan points out here, use it in a denial of service attack to essentially just get some of these infinite files like a def random or def zero. There are also some other attacks, like, for example, recursive entities, where one entity resolves to another entity that can then also lead to essentially denial of service or resource exhaustion attacks. But web applications, of course, don't just have to worry about cutting-edge attacks like external entities. We still see plenty of good old remote file inclusion attacks, and Boyan wrote up one of those we just had reported to us that sent a very large number, over 800 different requests, trying pretty much any remote file inclusion vulnerability out there to see if the particular system is vulnerable. Not 100% sure what the end game here is. The attack, as it was spotted, the system was not vulnerable, so really we only know the little indicator script they're trying to run to see if you're vulnerable. Don't necessarily know yet what they will do once they figure out that you're vulnerable. And Microsoft released its advanced notification for next week's patch Tuesday. Turns out it will be a pretty light patch Tuesday, 4 bulletins only. They're all rated important. Now, one of them indicates that remote code execution is possible, and that's an Office and SharePoint issue. So we probably will rate that critical because it's one of those where you just have to open the document. Other than that, really looks pretty straightforward next Tuesday, so an easy beginning of the new year. Oracle, on the other hand, will announce 147 patches next Tuesday. Again, we only have the summary for it so far, but remember with Oracle, that covers a whole set of different operating systems, databases, and other related software that Oracle produces. And if you are running Android with the Avast virus scanner, you probably already figured out that on Thursday they did release a bad update for their signature file, which turned all applications into malware. So every single application that you had installed will be marked as malicious, and then depending on how you had it configured, will try to delete it. At this point, Avast came out with a fix, and if you have the latest version, you should no longer have any issues. And hopefully you skipped the version that had the problematic signatures. And Yahoo finally enabled SSL across its webmail service by default. However, the configuration is not necessarily sort of up to standards, at least today's standards may have been pretty good about like 2 years or so ago. TLS 1.2, for example, is not enabled. Also, strict transport security is not enabled. And a couple other issues, like, for example, RC4 supported, forward secrecy is not enabled. So with that, it's at least SSL, but not really SSL the way you should configure it on a system like a webmail system that does deal with a lot of personal information. And lately we talked a lot about router backdoors, so I set up a little port scan script. If you want to test your own router, isc.sans.edu/quickscan.html should get you there. However, you have to log in order to run the scan. Have to keep it a little bit locked down in order to not make that sort of into a free-for-all port scan tool. It will scan port 2280 and a couple of these standard admin ports, but also some of the recent backdoor ports like 32764. That's it for today, so thanks again for listening and talk to you again on Monday. Monday I'll also run a webcast, by the way, at 1 p.m. Eastern about HTML5, whether or not it's a vulnerability or really something that you can use to help you improve security. Thanks for listening and goodbye.